From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March 11th, 2014. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Last week, just as many in the United States were getting used to commercial use of unmanned aerial systems, that is drones, in spite of a Federal Aviation Administration ban, a judge decided that the FAA does not, in fact, have such laws on the books. So for a brief moment, perhaps, the ban was lifted, but it was quickly put back in place when the FAA appealed the decision. So what is going on in the Wild West of UAS use in the United States? We'll explore that after a word from our sponsor.
Map out your future in one of the top three high-growth industries. With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you'll be an expert in spatial thinking and geographic information systems. And you'll have the tools that will make you indispensable in the industry. The degree is completed entirely online in cohort-based classes, so it's perfect for working professionals. For more information, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
Now let's start with the most recent news, which popped up, to my great surprise, last Thursday. And last Thursday, Patrick Garrity, a National Transportation Safety Board administrative law judge, dismissed a $10,000 fine against a filmmaker that used a drone to make a commercial in Virginia. The dismissal was based on the judge's finding that the FAA has no regulations governing model aircraft flights or for classifying model aircraft as an unmanned aircraft. So the whole thing was tossed out. And the real question was, well, what did that mean? Does that mean that all of a sudden all of the restrictions on commercial use of drones are gone? And before that question could really be asked and answered, the FAA appealed the ruling, which basically put in place a stay, meaning that everything is back the way it was before the ruling. To me, this sort of came out of nowhere. I didn't know that. I knew there was a case, and I knew that the person who had been fined had countersued, but I had no idea this was coming or that it was going to be decided. Did this come out of the blue for you as well?
Yeah, it really did. I think everybody had been going under the assumption that the FAA had standing with their current policy, and as it turns up, the policy is not a law, and that's what the judge was ruling.
Which is all so weird, and the timing is even more weird, because if we go back in time to the end of February, let me just sort of track what I found moving through the end of February. So on February 26th, the FAA put out a document called Busting Myths About the FAA and Unmanned Aircraft. And basically what it said was, yes, there are laws, we have laws, you can't do it, it's all illegal. And then on the 27th, I received a tweet from a lawyer. I had tweeted about the FAA document, and he responded to me and said, hey, you know, I'm a lawyer, and he put out something called Busting the FAA's Myth-Busting Document, where he went through and said, in fact, no, FAA, you don't. And then on February 28th, Eric Gackstetter from Geospatial Solutions wrote a really interesting piece called FAA Says Commercial Drone Operations Are Illegal. Public Says, So What? And interestingly, that didn't seem to be in response to the FAA document. He basically detailed how people were just ignoring what was going on with the FAA and doing whatever they wanted, be they farmers out in Iowa and others. And the general consensus was, if the FAA doesn't know what I'm doing and they don't see me do it, I'm just going to do it. What really hit me was that I hadn't considered for a moment that perhaps these laws weren't real. I'm a real law follower. I mean, if it says no turn on red, I don't turn on red. But apparently there are others who see it differently.
Well, and what seems to be happening is, I don't know whether it's ignorance or what, but the technology exists and people are using it. And that's just a fact that you can do it. And whether you're advised of the law or the policy or not, people are going to do it, not necessarily flaunting it, but perhaps just Because they can. It's not a matter of whether you're obeying the law or ignorant of the law. It's just that the technology is there. I want to see if it works. And that's what many of these commercial entities are doing with using the technology for their best benefit. The flowerdeliveryexpress.com example that we'll have in the show notes is one great example. This is a company that wants to deliver flowers with a drone. And I think they're just out there seeing if it can be done. Not necessarily that they're ignorant or flaunting the law. It's just that they see this as an opportunity and they want to see if it can be done and done efficiently and cost effectively.
Well, I want to draw a line because I think that the folks that were mostly covered in the Geospatial Solutions article and many others that we do not know about, they really do want to travel under the radar. And you make a really good point. It's very easy to get your hands on a drone. It's very easy to get your hands on a sensor, a camera, whatever it is. It's not expensive. You can pretty much teach yourself how to use some of these things, and you can just go do it. Those folks have sort of chosen one path. And for them, I like to think that, yeah, they're trying to make a living. They're trying to get ahead of their competitors by knowing more about it and getting some experience. I don't suggest that people go out and break the law. I totally understand the logic of it. But then you start getting these folks like the flower delivery company. And that, to me, is sort of a whole nother part of this because they are actively flaunting. And there were two of these that sort of came to light and both sort of went viral. And the first one was actually back on February 3rd. There was a video from a brewery in Wisconsin called Lake Mead, and they brew beer. And they made this little video about delivering the beer via drone to the folks out ice fishing.
The ice fishing.
Little huts.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And to the best of my knowledge, they made the video. The video went viral. And they kind of stood by as there was uptake of this story, and it was on CNN and NPR and elsewhere. It had sort of a genuine feel to it, to me. But then a few weeks later, on March 13th, right before Valentine's Day, popped up this Flower Delivery Express press release. A press release from the company with a very similar video. If you look at these two videos, they're almost the same. They start off with somebody answering the phone and writing down lat long coordinates on a pad of paper. And then they go outside and send off the drone. So I wonder if the same people actually made the video, because they're almost the same.
That would be rather sinister if they did.
I don't know. But the fact that this company put out a press release that said, oh, we really want to do things by drone, but the FAA says we can't. Right? So that's a flaunting. And yet, I have to say one positive thing about both of those situations, and that's that it gave the FAA another opportunity to communicate with these very clever little stories that the FAA thinks that this is illegal.
Well, let's just take a moment of pause here. Everybody knows that UASs are coming. The commercial entities who think that they can benefit from this are waiting in the wings for the FAA to release their policy guidelines. And what is happening is they're throwing out a little test case, and they want to see if they'll either be caught or whether it works. And I want to read this quote by the guy from Flower Delivery Express, Wesley Berry, the CEO. And he goes, you know, however, the good news is that this technology is here to stay. And I think that's what he's getting at, right? That we don't want to be passed by. And then he says, when the time is right, we'll be ready for orders to be delivered, not by an address, but by GPS coordinates. It's exciting to plan the future of the business based on this emerging technology. And that's what everybody is going to be doing. They don't want to wait for the FAA to come out with their guidelines. They're going to push the envelope a little bit to see if the FAA is going to clamp down on them. And I think this recent ruling by Garrity was a measure of, whoops, well, we forgot there wasn't a law. And it's almost as if the floodgates could be opened to some of these people who want to test the technology and take their risk about going to court and saying, I'll take my chances. The FAA really doesn't have standing here. Let's go push the envelope and we'll ask for forgiveness instead of permission. And that's what I think is happening.
It's been happening in both of the sectors, in both the we want to fly under the radar part of this, and the we want people to know that we're really clever, like the folks at Flower Delivery Express. What's interesting in our little corner of the industry is if companies are doing this, and I'm sure they are in our industry, right, taking pictures of things that they shouldn't be taking pictures of, not getting permission, not looking at privacy, they're doing it very quietly.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And they know that only one case has been taken up by the FAA, and it was this case that was dismissed. So you pretty much know, unless you have a guy from the FAA standing next to you, nobody's going to know or care. And if someone walks up to you and says, hey, isn't that illegal? You're going to say, well, it's a model airplane. It's under 400 feet. You're going to use all these buzzwords that hopefully will make people feel better.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I think that our industry is being very quiet because the spotlight could be shown on us very, very quickly because we're the ones who could have potential privacy implications. We know that the big guys on the block, the Facebooks and the Googles, are chomping at the bit to get at this technology for whatever purpose. Any company, any aerial photography company that even hints at trying to flaunt the law probably is going to be clamped down on pretty quickly. And certainly Google or Facebook aren't going to put up the drones. But if any of the bigger aerial companies get up there just to try to test it and get caught, that could have big implications all the way down the line. And nobody wants to do that. And nobody wants to publicly tell anybody that that's what they're doing.
Right. This whole idea of the potential impact on future profits.
Exactly.
Could be quite great. So
if you've got the black mark on you, that's not a good thing.
Folks are going to stay away. But let's go back to those Googles and others who are going to get involved in this technology and the rumor that surfaced last week that Facebook was looking at buying a drone company. Why? The logic goes that they want to use these drones that can stay in the air for quite a long time to spread internet access into areas where it is not yet good enough so there can be more Facebook users and they can make more money. Think that's likely?
I think it's very likely. I think that the company that they're considering, what is this Titan Aerospace that is putting up what they call Atmosats or atmospheric satellites that can go above the 60,000 foot level, which is apparently the end of the Class A airspace that the FAA is supposed to maintain. I think it's extremely likely, although the FAA will claim that they can go to the moon with their airspace regulations, I think that it's a great application. I think you're going to see this. And I don't think you're just going to see it to provide internet access. I think Atmosats have great application.
It's another sort of solution for this whole we need satellites situation, right? We can
right.
solve it with microsats and cubesats.
Right, small cubesats, small sats, whatever it is, the skybox type launch vehicle. It's going to happen, and there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there who just seem to be trying different things, and one of them is going to stick. These types of platforms, I think, are going to change our industry.
Let's take one more stab at the entrepreneurs of this space, and let me just note that LeClaire Ryan, that's a law firm, launched a new group that specializes in legal issues involved in UASs. We've heard of LeClaire Ryan because that's where our friend of Directions Magazine and OGC board member Kevin Pomfret came from. So they're clearly getting ready because they see that there's going to be an awful lot of legal issues, and this case has certainly raised that one more time. The final comment I want to make is I'm thinking about a conversation I had 10 or 15 years ago with Jerry Kinn, who now works at ESRI, and back in the day he was involved with the sensors. We were talking about sort of where we were with airplanes as platforms, and he described it as the Wild West, because they were figuring out which kind of aircraft you could use, and there were new sensors coming online all the time, and it was bold, and people were taking chances, and we didn't really know what was going to happen. And this particular court decision and this set of situations that we've discussed has really made me realize that we're in the same place now with these UASs. It is the Wild West.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And with these variety of platforms, whether it's a drone, small fixed wing, helicopter, or small sats, this is a next generation of platforms for Earth observation.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
With a master's degree in applied geospatial sciences from Elmhurst College, you can map out your future. At Elmhurst, you'll work with experienced educators and professionals, and you can complete the program in just 2 years. And Elmhurst has a dedicated GIS server, so you can get hands-on experience. To learn more, visit go.elmhurst.edu/spsmags.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag, or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted @directionsmagazine. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.